You're listening to Radio Hangar Aviation Talk, powered by AI, fueled by passion. Hey there, welcome back to Traffic Pattern. I'm Pattern, and today we are digging into something that every cross-country pilot needs to get right. Every single time, no exceptions, fuel planning. Now I know what you're thinking. Fuel planning? That sounds like a math problem. And yeah, there's some math, but here's the thing. This is one of those topics where the math actually matters, because running low on fuel in a car means you pull over and call AAA. Running low on fuel in an airplane means you're declaring an emergency, or worse. So let's walk through this together. From the regulations to the real-world math, and I promise, by the end of this, you're going to feel a lot more confident planning your next cross-country. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. All right. Let's start with the regulation itself, because this is one the examiner will absolutely ask you about. We're talking about Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations, Part 91, Section 151. That's the Fuel Requirements Rule for Visual Flight Rules, or VFR flights, and it says this: during the day, you need enough fuel to fly to your first point of intended landing, plus a reserve of 30 minutes at normal cruise speed. At night, that reserve goes up to 45 minutes. Simple enough, right? Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. That regulation is the legal minimum. It is not a recommendation, it is not a suggestion. It is the floor, the bare minimum the Federal Aviation Administration says you can fly with, and a lot of experienced pilots will tell you that 30 minutes is not a lot of margin when things go sideways, and things go sideways. Weather deviations, headwinds stronger than forecast, a closed runway that sends you to your alternate traffic delays, all of that eats fuel. So, most experienced pilots aim for at least an hour of reserve during the day, some even more. The regulation gives you the minimum. Your judgment should give you the margin. Now let's talk about the actual math, because this is where a lot of students get a little fuzzy. Step 1. You need to know your airplane's fuel burn rate, and I mean actually know it, not guess it. For a Cessna 172, you're typically looking at somewhere around 8 to 10 gallons per hour at cruise, depending on your power setting and altitude, your pilot's operating handbook. Your POH has the specific numbers for your airplane. Use them, don't use the number your buddy told you at the airport diner. Step 2. Figure out your total flight time. And this isn't just the time from takeoff to landing. You need to account for taxi, run-up, climb to altitude, cruise, descent, and approach. Each phase burns fuel at a different rate. Climb burns more than cruise, taxi burns less. A lot of students just take their total distance, divide by their cruise speed, and call it done. That misses some fuel. Here's a better way to think about it. Let's say you're planning a cross-country of 200 nautical miles in a Cessna 172. Your cruise true airspeed is about 110 knots, but you've got a 15-knot headwind, so your ground speed is 95 knots. 200 nautical miles at 95 knots gives you about 2 hours and 6 minutes of cruise time, but add in 15 minutes for taxi, run up, and climb. Now you're at 2 hours and 21 minutes of flight time. At 9 gallons per hour, that's roughly 21 gallons just to get there. Now add your 30-minute VFR day reserve. That's another 4.5 gallons, so you need at least 25.5 gallons. Your Cessna 172 with standard tanks holds 40 gallons usable. So on paper, you've got plenty, about 14.5 gallons of extra fuel beyond the legal minimum. Sounds great, right? Well, hold that thought. Here's where reality walks in. Did you actually top off the tanks? Did you visually confirm the fuel level? Are you trusting the fuel gauges? Pop quiz. Are fuel gauges in a small airplane required to be accurate? The answer might surprise you. The regulations only require them to be accurate at one reading. Empty, that's it. The FAA requires fuel gauges to read accurately when the tank is empty. Anything above that, the gauge might be close. It might not be. I've seen gauges that read 3/4 full when the tank had barely half. This is why you visually check your fuel during pre-flight, every time. And this brings up another important habit. Always know how much fuel you actually have on board, not approximately, not roughly. Actually, write it down on your nav log. If you topped off and your airplane holds 40 gallons usable, write down 40. If you added 22 gallons to tanks that hold 40 and the line guy says the truck pumps 22, then you had 18 already and now you have 40. Confirm it. Write it down. Now, let's talk about something a lot of students overlook. Fuel planning doesn't end when you take off in flight. You should be monitoring your fuel burn and comparing it to your plan. If you planned for 9 gallons per hour but you're running at a higher power setting because of headwinds, you might be burning 10 or 11. That changes your math. Here's a practical technique. Note your HOBS time or tax time at each checkpoint. Compare your actual ground speed to what you planned. If you're slower than expected, you're burning more fuel per mile than you planned. That's when you need to reassess. Can you still make your destination with legal reserves? Should you stop for fuel? This is real aeronautical decision-making. This is what the airman certification standards are looking for. The ACS doesn't just want you to calculate fuel on the ground, it wants you to manage fuel in the air, to recognize when the plan isn't matching reality and to do something about it. Let me give you a scenario. You're flying that 200 nautical mile cross country. You plan for a 15 knot headwind, but at your first checkpoint, about 50 miles in, you realize your ground speed is only 80 knots, not 95. The winds are stronger than forecast. Let's redo the math. You've got 150 miles left at 80 knots. That's 1 hour and 52 minutes. Plus the 30 minutes you already flew. Your total flight time is now about 2 hours and 22 minutes, not including the climb and taxi fuel you already burned. At 9 gallons per hour, your total fuel burn is now about 23 gallons for the flight, plus your 4.5 gallon reserve. That's 27.5 gallons. You started with 40, you've burned about 5 gallons in the first 30 minutes. You've got 35 left, 27.5 needed. You're still okay, but your margin just shrank from 14.5 gallons to about 7.5. And what if those headwinds get even worse? What if your destination weather deteriorates and you need to divert? This is why I always say plan generous, fly conservative. The fuel you don't use today is the fuel that saves you tomorrow. One more thing I want to touch on. Fuel planning with fuel stops. Not every cross country is one hop. Sometimes, especially on longer trips, you need to stop for fuel, and that's totally fine. Honestly, it's smart, but you need to plan each leg separately. Each leg needs its own fuel calculation. Each leg needs its own 30-minute day reserve or 45-minute night reserve. You don't get to borrow reserve fuel from your first leg to extend your second leg. Each leg stands on its own, and here's a practical tip. When you're choosing a fuel stop, pick an airport with fuel that's actually available. Check the airport facility directory, also known as the chart supplement. Call ahead if you're landing somewhere unfamiliar. I've had students plan beautiful cross countries with a fuel stop at an airport where the fuel pump was broken for a month. Don't let that be you. Let me also mention weight and balance for a second, because fuel planning and weight and balance go hand in hand. Every gallon of AVGAS weighs 6 pounds. If you top off a 40-gallon airplane, that's 240 pounds of fuel, add 2 people, luggage, and full fuel, and you might be over your maximum gross weight, or your center of gravity might be out of limits. Always run your weight and balance alongside your fuel plan. They're not separate tasks. They're the same task. So let's bring it all together. Here are your practical takeaways for fuel planning. Know the regulation. 30 minutes reserve VFR day, 45 minutes VFR night. That's the legal minimum, not the target. Use your POH for actual fuel burn numbers. Don't guess. Account for all phases of flight, taxi, climb, cruise, descent, not just cruise. Factor in wind. Headwinds increase fuel burn per mile. Use your E6B or your electronic flight computer to get accurate ground speed. Visually verify your fuel level. Don't trust the gauges alone. Monitor fuel burn in flight. Compare actual ground speed to planned ground speed at every checkpoint. Plan each leg separately if you're making fuel stops. Run weight and balance with your fuel load. And always, always give yourself more margin than the minimum. The sky is no place to learn you miscalculated. Fuel planning isn't glamorous. It's not the sexy part of flying, but it's one of those skills that separates a good pilot from a pilot who gets to keep being a pilot. Today's discussion drew from the Federal Aviation Administration's regulations, the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge published by the FAA, and general flight training best practices that CFIs across the country share every day. Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast built by people who are passionate about aviation. You can find more segments and all the details at radiohangar.com. That's it for today's traffic pattern. Go plan a cross country this week. Actually run the numbers, check the winds, calculate the fuel, and give yourself some margin, because the best emergency is the one you never have. Fly safe out there. Radio Hangar, clear skies and tailwinds.